Hey guys, welcome to Broad Street to Britain, a UK footies podcast with me, Dave Shaw, and my two good buddies, Alex Carr, and of course, Ryan Owens. Alex, Ryan, how are you guys? What a weekend.
Yeah, an interesting one. Definitely interesting. I'm glad they got out of the weekend with a series win. Thank God.
Can you imagine if we'd gone through all that and hadn't won the series?
Oh, jeez.
Would have been prime Philly, let's put it that way.
That was something else. It was a very interesting series, and I'm glad it's over. And I'm glad we never see the Royals again this year.
Yes. pesky, sneaky Royals. They weren't that bad. You can see how they've won definitely a few games in the trot and a bit red hot right now until the Phils put them out. Ryan, how are you, my man?
Yeah, I'm good. And we haven't podded since the sort of Miami series either. And it feels strange that we went 5-2 across those two series. Because when you say that, that's like a great 7-game stretch. But it kind of it felt so stressful in lots of ways that it feels weird to say that we went 5-2.
Do you know what? That's the first time I actually sat back and just thought that. Yeah, the Phils have gone 5-2 of our last 7, and feels like we've just gone 6-5.
Well, yeah. And you know what that means, though, as well. That means that what were they? They were 7-7 after the Baltimore series. So now that's what 12-9, I guess.
By 12-9.
I haven't looked at the numbers, but I would guess if my math is correct. That would be what it is.
Sounds about right. Yeah, it's pretty good since the All-Star break, and there's other teams that are scuffling. You know, I mean, we sort of sung the praises of the Reds. They've gone ice cold.
They really have jinxed them.
We reverse jinxed the Cubs. They've gone hot, even hotter than they were. They're scoring like three
insane
touchdowns a game.
The Cubs right now. Yeah, since the
They're cold. Break. The Reds are cold. There's other teams. That
Giants just got
beat
to the A's.
The D-backs are cold. We should be ahead of the Giants. Freezing. I mean, really, if all's well in the world, this Phillies ball club is more talented than what the Giants are putting out there every day as well, to be honest. So let's hope that the Phillies now crush the Nationals and just really put some light between themselves and much of this field.
Which I think we should. And I feel this weekend was... It was quite a momentous weekend, you know. Trey Turner, what a freaking story, man. You know, the whole momentum in 24 hours that built up with the standing ovation, with Mr. Fritz coming out and just getting the ball rolling with it, you know, and a couple of others on Twitter. You know, let's show some brotherly love and look at the avalanche snowball effect that came from that on social media to the actual moment he got to the plate. It was magic.
Two things.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Two things. First of all, just on our last, I was curious, so I went back. The Marlins are 5-16 since the All-Star break, which is insane.
Beautiful.
Second thing, shout out also to Mitch Rupert, who actually
was
the first person to tweet it out. Mitch is one of the greatest people on Twitter, does a lot of great minor league work. If you don't follow him, follow him. He's a fantastic guy. But that whole thing, that whole culmination of, you know, fans coming together, social media people coming together, everybody coming together to unite under this, you know, let's do this thing is so important because, you know, obviously there's a lot of people that felt that it was a contrived effort, that felt like it was not natural or organic, or felt like it was a weird. When you play in the city of Philadelphia, like everybody saw what Bryson Stott said, right? Like the idea that, you know, the national media portrays it as this really difficult place to play, et cetera, et cetera. You don't actually know unless you've been there what it's like to have that entire city at your back, ready to cheer you on, ready to be there for you, you don't know what it's like until you've experienced it. Everybody on this team experienced in the postseason last year. Everybody.
Absolutely.
Because this, if you make the postseason, this team is going to, this fan group is going to show out, right? The entire city is going to be painted red, right? Like the same thing happens when you get a couple people, you get an idea snowballing here. if it's going to translate, right? And if it's in the spirit of positivity and in the spirit of helping somebody who's going through something difficult, it's a beautiful thing. And anybody that believes the opposite is just thinking too hard about it. Like, it was such a great idea, such a great thing to see come to fruition. Truly.
It really was. And it's all through passion. The passion, you know, and like I said, how can you not be romantic about baseball, you know? And it wasn't just the first step back. It was the entire weekend, you know? And you're right. Trey hasn't experienced that. He wasn't here, obviously, last year. He didn't experience that playoff run when the fan base really, you know, got the bank rocking. That atmosphere, I got to say, all weekend, was it felt at times playoff-like atmosphere. Some of the games in that weekend felt like playoff games. You know, we went behind and we got Schwarber bounced us back. Castellanos went long. Harper went long. The big bat showed up. The crowd got into it. The players believed their hype. Turner, that home run was magic. What a moment. The moment of the season, the curtain call. Just, I felt, you know, watching it, I was like, fuck yeah.
And then who else heats up at the same time? Who else heats up at the same time? But the guy that sat down and was like, yeah, you know, I went up and I talked to him. I said, we're all human, right?
Yep.
We all go through these things. And you know, I had some struggles last year too. Who else but Nick Castellanos? The guy, the first man up waving the towel for Trey Turner when he hit that home run. Who else but Nick Castellanos would heat up alongside him? Like, it is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And it is so wonderful. When the national media can focus on something else other than, oh yeah, they threw batteries at Santa Claus 20 years ago. Like, it is so wonderful when the city comes together for a united cause that ends up being just such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
And Ryan, the momentum gained off all this as well is huge. The Phillies can now ride that wave because the bank's been full. Every game this season, the fans turning out has been unbelievable. The atmospheres have been unbelievable. Even on Tuesday nights, you know, Wednesday nights, you know, games that just, you know, any other season the last 10 years have been like, well, half full, you know, scattering of people at times. But this year has been on a different level to what I've experienced since 2012. Momentum now after that weekend should nab it an all-time high. And like we just said, the Phillies it's go time, right?
It's funny how history does repeat itself sometimes. And in the sense that there was a lot of positivity around the Phillies in 2007 when they played the Rockies in the playoffs out in Colorado, which were great series. Jimmy Rollins had a great series. And they obviously fell short that year. But the following year, the whole fan base knew that this was a special team. And it's often the following year when you start to feel something heating up and you start to see something there. And the other thing I would say is that I think the fan base is fully aware that the team's been doing quite well, despite the fact that this $300 million plus mega signing hasn't really been playing good baseball. So they were lifting him, not just to help him as a human,
right,
but because they recognize that actually we got a full squad here that is playoff ready. We just need you on board as well, buddy. And we don't want you to beat yourself up after what happened in game three in Miami, because what happened in Miami was, it wasn't just, and we don't want to sort of go back to the negativity, it wasn't just the sort of defensive mishap at the end, which was a shame for Dylan Covey. It was the at-bat prior in extra innings as well, which was, it just felt like a player. I mean, I messaged Dave that night and I said, this feels like it feels like if he couldn't make a slice of toast without burning it right now. That's how it felt. All we needed from him was a sack fly in extras, and he couldn't put enough contact on the ball, and he looked downbeat in the interview. We need Trey Turner to be at least half of what Trey Turner's been at the start of his career, because if he is, we all know that this is a full package of a team right now.
Absolutely. And you're right that the interviews of him this year have been, he's looked depressed. And, you know, his whole demeanor, his eyes to the floor the whole time. He wouldn't look at any reporter, wouldn't lift his head up once, mumbling his words, you know, classic signs of a guy who is obviously struggling on and off the field, but mentally he looked drained. And I think the people were recognizing this. I recognized it. I messaged it a few weeks ago to my girlfriend. He looks borderline depressed. You know, this guy is struggling, and what can we do? You know, what can Topper do? He's given him days off. He's dropped him. And I think it's so cool that the fans recognize this. We all recognize this. And we go, you know what? Just pick the bloody guy up. You know, let's just get him going. You know, the standing ovations.
He doesn't even need to hit loads of home runs. Like, traditionally, he's not a massive power bat throughout his career. That's not what he's been. What we need him on base. We need him running. I think he'll get some confidence if he starts hitting some singles and stealing a few bases, because that's who Trey Turner is. He's quick. He's dangerous. He's someone that should be terrifying the catcher and the opposition pitcher. Yep. He should be on base. He should be causing mayhem, no matter where he is in the lineup. Well, so it's little things.
Yeah. But look at what he's done on Friday since that RBI. Was it the RBI double? We still lost the game. But since then, you know, that we've been saying so many times, just needs that hit, doesn't he? Needs that. Even if it's a fluke, even if it's a bloop, it doesn't matter. It's an
RBI. That's the thing that he's talked about, though, is that he oftentimes this year has felt like no matter what he does, no matter what adjustments he makes, whether he tries to do something different or he tries to do something the right way or he tries to do this, that, the other, it's just not working. He just keeps feeling like he's hitting a wall.
A horrible cycle.
And I think that something – I mean – I don't know if this is going to help him figure out the remainder of the year, but something clicked in this series. I can tell you that much, because this is more hits than he's had in a series in months.
Five RBIs this weekend. Yeah, by his hits, you know, his defense. Around, smiling. He's actually smiling. He's enjoying himself. The key to being a good performer is when you're happy. He looked happy. You know, he looked completely reformed. You know, it's amazing. The fans did it. You know, they got behind him. And then, like Bryce said, his interview last night was just with Scott Fransky and WIP was just fantastic. It was, wow, you know, one player who epitomizes Philadelphia is maybe ever in any Philly sports team is Bryce Harper. A man, no other man can get it more. And, you know, he said all of them in the dugout, when that first try at bat, you know, it was tingling. You know, it was like they're here for us. You know, this fan base is here for us. And you know, he's saying he wishes he started his career here. It's just the players get it. You know, and it was awesome. Like we said, seeing Casty wave the towel as well, and the players. It's just what a team, what a city.
I for one cannot wait to hear Bryce Harper's first parade speech. I think that it will give the Chase Utley clip a run for its money. That feels like it's going to be a fun one. But I mean, right now, this team, as it is constructed, there are definitely holes in the roster, particularly given some struggles this year. But they are a close-knit group of guys. That is something that you cannot buy. You cannot foster a better clubhouse environment
than it's not just the guys who are close knit. I feel that like no other team in baseball, the fan base is in with the team.
Yes,
you know, the
team and
fan base are one. You know, it doesn't matter where you live, where you're from, like us here in the UK, all fans all over America, the world. I feel like everybody is just one mold of one, you know, Phillies. We are all Phillies, the players, to the coaching staff, to the people who work at the ballpark, to the fans everywhere. It's just the connection and the passion within the club is just, it feels unmatched. It really does.
And it's ironic because the word that I would use to describe it is gritty. It's gritty. It's like it's rough around the edges and very, you know, it's never easy, right? But it works. It works.
I mean, we all know. We're all Phillies fans, and most people listening will follow the Eagles and the Flyers probably. Philly sports is crazy one. I mean, it matters so much to the fans, the people that live there especially, but even if you've picked it up as a second city, like myself and Dave have, Philly sports gets to silly levels of passion. You know, it's a massive city, a massive area of fans that go outside of the city limits as well, that are bought in. If you're watching the Phillies or the Eagles, you're watching every game. You're in. You're absolutely committed. It's just, it's a great city. We all feel it when we go. We all feel it. You could be watching the game in the bar when they're on the road and everyone's glued to the TV. It's just, it is brilliant. And no one will want to play the Phillies if and when they make the playoffs.
No, I agree. And you're right. You know, we all live and breathe every pitch. You know, we ride the highs and the lows to the extreme. You know, after every loss, Twitter is a meltdown. After every win, Twitter is a high. It's just the passion more than anything else that I just don't sit with any other fan base. You know, I've got my red and white blinkers on. And
you're completely right.
I don't even see it in many other sports. You know,
I think that's where people mistake it for. Oh, the Philly. I know it's a bit of a trope, but the Philly fans are over the top and they're mean and all that. Well, you know, passion shows itself in more ways than one, depending on where things are at. You know, that's the nature of passion. Passion doesn't always show itself as love and applause. And, it shows itself. The other side is there will have been Philly fans down in Miami for game three that were giving Turner a bit of a hard time. I'm absolutely sure
of
it.
Hit the bluebirds at the time, yeah.
You know, they will have been, mainly because we all felt so sorry for Dylan Covey, who...
It was the irony.
No, there is no way that was there was just no chance.
We all just wanted him to get the save.
It's funny because it is such a recurring bit. Like the idea of I have a friend that I talk to about this at times, and I think the Dylan Covey bit is so funny because like he's just that he's like the I don't even know how to explain it. Like the Phillies are the motorcycle and he's sitting in like the little tandem car, just like along for the ride. And somehow they just never lose him. And he's just right there. I think it's hilarious. However, he has looked a lot better in his last 10 appearances. He has. And
the facts don't lie.
Listen, it is
don't lie,
what it is at this point. But the one thing about that Marlins series, that is exactly what the Phillies needed to do in order to, I mean, not only to pick themselves up, but to put Miami that far into the ground after they just traded away like every decent prospect that they have.
Yep.
I mean, that is the ultimate momentum killer. I mean, they already were really struggling, but to put
they
them
didn't trade away every decent they, prospect they have.
They
haven't got a lot left.
They really don't. I mean,
Miami.
Watson, but don't they think he's just like an absolute head case, don't they?
Yes, but Jake Eater was arguably their best pitching prospect. I'm serious.
He's gone. He's gone. Alex, you got to stop. Dave's telling you off. Stop.
Okay? Oh no.
This is not locked
we're
on Marlins.
Pete's job.
Pete will be listening.
No, but for the Phillies,
supposed to call them all studs.
But for the Phillies perspective, I mean, because you look at the NL East for the next few years, and the teams that you have to worry about are the Braves.
Well, yeah,
That's it. Because
but
seriously, it's worth noting because this extra wild card spot has pretty severe implications on postseason eligibility, and you know,
although the Mets could sort of accidentally find themselves being a bit better next season because they're like 10 or 12 games under 500. I don't know.
To go below the Nats.
Yeah, but I don't. I honestly, even if they sign a whole rotation next year, I don't see their path to competitivity. There's just no
Kodai Senga.
And that's it. But that's like no, seriously, there are no bats available.
Jose Quintana.
There's no bats available in the offseason. So that it really is a difficult situation for them. So next year, if you don't have to worry about anybody other than the Braves, it becomes a pretty interesting year.
I'm worrying about this year first.
About next year. It's true.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not even worried about the Braves in the postseason. We've seen them crumble already when they came to the bank in October. Bring them on.
That would be a good. I mean, if that happens, if that series happens, it's going to be tasty because they will be so. They are a juggernaut right now. They were last year. They're a juggernaut.
Yeah, they're unbelievable this year.
They're peaking now. Let them have it.
I agree. We'd give them a game, but
beat them in a series. You know, that's it. That's
they
it.
Are they're really down.
Here they come. Title's ours. 2007, baby.
But it's crazy. That team is. I think their lowest OPS is like the Phillies' third highest or second highest, maybe.
I know.
It's crazy what that offense is doing right now. I mean,
it's the top five. It's pretty nuts.
I can't believe it.
It's like I said, when you get the postseason, all those stats are wiped.
No, you're completely correct. I'm not saying that they're going to be any serious.
I know. They're mighty right now, but I'm not even.
They have seven position players with an FWAR above two. It's crazy.
But the Phils are 10 games above 500 right now. We're joint top of the wild card. We're 3.5 games clear, and we haven't even got going seriously yet.
The thing is, we
that could
know,
be scary in itself.
And we know that the Phillies have to stay very focused on playing even better baseball between now and the end of the season to guarantee the wild card spot.
Right.
The Braves are at this risk of coasting again. This like we've played all of our best baseball already, and we're in the playoffs, and no one's catching us. It's a strange place to be. Not stats, yeah. Stats are stats, but it's mentality. We talk about Trey Turner. Yeah. Everything's up here in baseball and in any sport. You know,
look at the Dodgers. Nearly every year they win at a canter, and then like you said, they take the foot off the gas a little bit, and it's such a dangerous thing to do because you lose momentum. I prefer to be chasing it going in towards the end. You know, when you're dialed in more.
Whereas I completely agree.
If you're at a canter, like Washington. The Dodgers, they usually bottle the postseason. The Braves, questionably, did last year because they'd gotten out of canter.
I was actually going to mention this earlier, that I think the Washington series coming now is a good thing for Trey Turner because they don't have loads of... It would be pretty annoying if he'd had a really nice weekend against the Royals and then we were playing the Texas Rangers or a team with like two or three arms ready to come up, you know? Right. So... I kind of, not to sort of put the curses on it, but it is nice, and he shouldn't be thinking like this, and I'm sure he won't be. He'll be going in professionally. But in my mind, I'm thinking, keep the hot streak going, Trey, whilst you're playing a team that is putting out the bare minimum really right now.
And even the Twins come up to town next. It's still in Philly. Also, all these games are in Philly. So almost of August is in Philly. Huge, huge for the players, for the team themselves, and for Trey as well. This team... We saw this weekend, Casty, Kyle, Bryce, Trey, Stott, Bohm, Rojas. You know, everybody was contributing, and it just gives me so much belief that if they can sort of maintain just three or four of these players at a time, clicking, it doesn't have to be all together, because what baseball team, you know, has a complete lineup clicking from start to finish? It doesn't. It's all about cycles. It's swings and roundabouts. But if you get Kyle starting to heat up again, Cassie and Trey, Bryce, Bohm, start heating up at the same time, put the league on watch, because this offense is one of the deadliest in baseball. Without a doubt, Bryce and Stott is just... what a player. Yeah. What a player. I'm not going to comparison him to we know who, but he could be on that level. You know, he really, really could be. I love watching his defense. He's a Gold Glove winner, future Gold Glove winner. He's going to win batting titles. He is just, you know, extend him now. You know, do we give him the contract and say, look, lock him up, because he's a stud. He's an absolute stud.
Yeah, I'm not really sure that our bullpen's got the credit that it deserves either, because, you know, one of the big differences in a lot of baseball teams is what does your bullpen do? I mean, the Royals, you could see, you said the Royals look better than you expected. I think offensively, the offense is quite interesting. Loads of speed. Garcia is hard to play against. He's got a bit of power.
Menendez.
Speed. Blanco, Bobby Witt, obviously. But the thing that makes the big difference between the two teams is the bullpen. I mean... The Phillies, I mean, they got Strom, who pitched nice two nice innings, and it was good to see him out. Soto's been pretty good. I mean, to pick Soto up for what they did with Verling is looking smarter and smarter by the day. They have Dominguez. They have Kimbrel,
Hoffman.
Yeah, the bullpen's been pretty damn good,
If you looked at that bullpen at the start of the season and gone Hoffman, Marte, Strom, you know, no Alvarado for a bit of the season.
It's COVID. What Dombrowski does, though. Dombrowski likes to find bullpen arms that are, there's a question mark over them for some reason. Even Craig Kimbrel, you know, there would have been teams this offseason that wouldn't have touched him. He's on a downward spiral. He is not
a one-year, $10 million deal for one of the greatest closers baseball's ever seen.
Like Dombrowski, and he knows that they're a slight risk. He knows it's not like he doesn't think they're slam dunks, but he's placing a smart bet.
What I also think is great about Dave Dombrowski is that he knows when to pull the trigger and when not to on a deal. Right, like we saw. This trade deadline, right? There were obviously I have to dance around certain things here, but like there are circumstances in which like maybe it's not always him pulling away from the deal, but for the most part, right? He had a plan. He knew what he wanted to trade this offseason or this deadline and what he didn't want to trade. And he knew, you know, if this, you know, ask for a certain player is met, I'm going to go for it. Like Michael Lorenzen, right? He was like, okay, if I don't have to give up one of my top, you know, six or seven prospects for this arm, I'm probably going to pull the trigger, because even with the rental price tag being so high, he decided to, you know, shop Bailey Falter and get a bat for the bench instead of going out and paying an exorbitant price tag. Now, price tags for bats weren't that high, but there weren't also that many being sold, right? As we saw, Teoscar Hernandez, Adam Duvall, they went nowhere. They didn't go anywhere, right? So there weren't a lot of options at the end of the day, right? But he knows when to say yes and when to say no. And the Gregory Soto deal, there is every chance in the world that Nick Maton, Matt Vierling, or Donnie Sands could turn into, I don't know, some mistake piece to trade away. But they were all blocked at the major league level by, you know, certain talent that's here for a long time or talent that exceeded their, you know, their levels of talent. Same with Haoyu Lee. He's blocked. Bryson Stott is going to be here for a long time. Trey Turner too, right? So he knows when to pull the trigger on these trades for players. He maximized Matt Vierling, Nick Maton, and Donnie Sands' value, and that turned into Gregory Soto, right? Like, he's always looking for upgrades. And I think that is outstanding.
I still wonder, and I'm still slightly worried that not getting a bullpen arm at the deadline may have been, you know, we may suffer down the line, because I still worry about Strom and Hoffman. Their workload, that they're way above now innings pitched in their career. Lorenzen is the same. Although the six-man rotation is going to help them all out, especially Nola, who give him every bit of rest possible between games right now, because we've talked at length about Nola all season. Nola's Nola this year. It's what it is. But just even if he improved down the stretch a little bit, you know, just gave up a few less home runs. That's huge as well. I mean, you know, Suarez is still, I don't know what's going on with Suarez right now. Walker, like that was a prime Walker outing. Struggled first two innings, and you thought he ain't going five, and then all of a sudden he's just finished the seventh inning. You know,
and Walker, that 13, is
14 wins this year. What's going on?
That's going to be huge for the Phillies next year if they decide not to bring back Aaron Nola. The fact that Taijuan Walker can be that guy that maybe, he struggles every other outing, but he can still give you seven innings. That's like Aaron Nola's patented quality, right? He'll struggle sometimes, but he'll still give you six, seven innings, right?
Yeah. Which
Taijuan Walker being able to do that is a big deal. I like that a lot.
I mean, the bullpen arm not being acquired is interesting. I still think that by adding Lorenzen, I mean, you've just said yourself, they go to the six-man rotation for the time being, but they also know that means that at least one of those arms is going to be in the bullpen pretty soon. Right. And if you get to the playoffs, probably two or three of them are going to be in the bullpen. So
yeah.
That's huge. But the other point is, I think at some point, the Phillies are probably hoping that Connor Brogdon will be of more use than Dylan Covey. I don't know how he's getting on, to be honest. I mean, by rights, by history, by everything that they've shown early, Connor Brogdon should be able to produce at a level higher than he has been this season.
I'll tell you who is coming up pretty quick. We could see Griff. What do you reckon? Griff is up now, AAA.
I think that you have a better chance of seeing either Griff McGarry or Orion Kerkering. Or somebody of that ilk than you do seeing Connor Brogdon. And honestly, we have seen Dylan Covey survive multiple rounds of cuts now. I don't think he's going anywhere. Yeah. I think he's going to stick around. And listen, they're high on him.
Developing a new pitch with him as well, haven't they?
It's already been used. Bigger. Yeah, he's throwing a splitter now, which he's been doing for about a month, and he's seeing success with it. And it's a good one. It drops very substantially. He reminds me of an older McKinley Moore. Reminds me of. And McKinley's been injured all year, but. I just think that I don't think he's going anywhere. I just don't.
I don't know. What's the problem? I mean, I don't want to turn it into total Brogdon sort of. I'm not a stan or anything, but the stats at Lehigh Valley this year are pretty good. He gets strikeouts. Like, I don't know. He's pitched 15 innings at Lehigh Valley. He's got a 1.1 whip with 10.8 K per nine. Like, what's the issue? What's wrong with him?
Wait, are you looking at the right year?
Yeah. That's just this year, 2023, 1.13 whip, 10.8 K per nine.
I'll take a look, but
his career whip in the minors is 1.052.
I think the problem would be the four home runs and 12 runs allowed in 15 innings. I think that would probably be the reason that they're not happy with how he's doing down there.
Yeah,
he just got off the development list as well. I think they are. They're trying. I just think that I don't know. I'm not one to speculate. I don't know what's going on with him, but he has shown in past years that sometimes his arm just isn't up for the full length of the season, and his velocity diminishes a little bit. It happens. It's a real shame.
And he pitched really well in Red October. He was incredibly underrated.
There's something
there with that guy. I don't think he's one to throw away completely. But anyway, that's me.
I don't think they will either. I don't think they're going to move on from him.
There's options. We just said McGarry. There's not loads. We said that on the trade pod. We sort of said there's not loads of options, and that's why we need to go and get a pitcher. And they got Lorenzen. I mean, by the way, this is the first pod since that outing. The movement on his fastball, he was fantastic.
He is so efficient. It's really cool.
It's just what we needed on that day. Like, we had no one in the bullpen. We were absolutely done.
You know what's amazing about Michael Lorenzen and about the acquisition of him coming here? Caleb Cotham's, like, go-to phrase, right, is just F it, throw strikes, right? That's his thing. He's like, he's F the hitter, attack the hitter, trust your stuff, just go after him, right? Michael Lorenzen and him pitched for the same organization. He was an assistant pitching coach to Michael Lorenzen. And the fact that Michael Lorenzen came here in his first outing and just said, F it, throw strikes, give them my sinker, let them hit it into the ground, and let's be done with it, is like, I love it. It's why I loved the acquisition in the first place. If he's going to thrive for anybody, it's
Jorge Soler looked pissed off. Soler, like, he swung at one.
Yeah, he did.
Like, look, he was like, I don't even know what I just saw. Like, it was great.
It's pretty sweet.
He's throwing
a really good sweeper too, Michael Lorenzen. He just developed it this year, and it looks really, really good. I'm thrilled with that. I think that by acquiring him, they did acquire a bullpen arm for October. All things being equal, right?
And he is going to be a bullpen arm in October. Some lovely long hair. I mean, that is crucial. It's absolutely crucial.
And Brandon Marsh, Dave. They've got so much hair.
No, I said lovely long hair is what I said.
Well, did you read Alex Coffey's piece? Michael Renton is the guy that taught Brandon Marsh to wet his hair.
Yeah, yep.
It's incredible. But it also, again, Dave Dombrowski has done such a brilliant job of fostering a good clubhouse, right? Like he has. Michael Lorenzen has history.
Honestly, it's gone.
He's using his connections with Detroit. I mean, he's been there. It's so smart. It's just like, it's simple. This is a trade partner that I trust. This is a trade partner that I'm willing to pick up the phone to. I have good relationships with. They know I'm not going to screw them over completely. I'm going to give them something that they want. I'm going to get back what I want.
Right.
That's the way that you wheel and deal. It's Harry Redknapp.
Absolutely. You're saying it.
On top of that as well. Sorry, Dave.
No, you can.
On top of that as well, it really makes you think, you know, if they do say goodbye to Aaron Nola, right? If they, you know, God forbid, they move on, which we'll save that topic for another podcast, unless we really want to get into that. But yeah, God forbid they do. You know, Michael Lorenzen could be a really interesting option for them to bring back next year. Same with, I mean, there's a lot of ex-Reds pitchers that have worked with Caleb Gotham that are reaching free agency next year. Tyler Mahle is one. He's, you know, just undergone Tommy John surgery. There's a lot of really interesting avenues that you open up by fostering this, you know, late stage season camaraderie, right?
Yeah,
and I'm sure that's something that they were thinking about.
Yeah, and he looked like, when he came off the mound, that he was loving his time already here.
Yep.
You know, he looked right at home straight away. You know,
because he knows like four or five of the guys in the clubhouse already. It's like
the difference it makes.
It's great.
Yeah, Lorenzen with that. I can't wait for his next start on Wednesday night. He could be a huge piece, especially if Nola carries into struggle. You know, just imagine if Nola picks it up, Suarez finds his form again. Walker carries on like he is. Lorenzen's now there. Sanchez goes.
Nola just needs to stop giving up the long ball, because I mean, let's be honest, 8K is one walk. I mean, it's not like he isn't a good pitcher. 8K is one walk. I mean, if you're doing that every game, you're gonna be doing all right over the course of the full season.
Yeah,
so you can stop this long ball.
Those stats, you may as well shout into the water. You know, it's
sorry. I will do then.
With the majority of the fan base, they won't look at that. It's the runs. It's always at crucial times as well. You know, like this weekend, Trey Turner, you know, gets that standing ovation. It hits a home run, and then Nola gives up a bloody 2-run home run, and we lose the lead again.
But what's really interesting about Aaron Nola of late, he is clearly trying to adjust something, because he has been really, really hittable over these last two starts, both against Pittsburgh and against Kansas City. And say what you will about Aaron Nola, but he doesn't give up a ton of hits. He's not that guy that is going to leave the game with more hits allowed than innings pitched, right? That's just not him. The hits that he does give up, the hits that he does give up are going to be of more consequence, right? That's just the nature of Aaron Nola. But he's not that guy. And that's what's really interesting to me. They're clearly adjusting something.
One big problem for Nola this year is that all the Phillies games this year are close. Damn close. You know, we haven't had many games that have gone our way by a long way or the opponent's way by a long way. So every time he does give a home run, it's amplified by 1,000 because it's usually a game decisive home run as well, It doesn't help his cause. You know, if we were 8-1 out in front, he gives up a couple of home runs. Well, it's sort of like, it's not reflected on, is it? Because the Phillies are still going to win at a canter. It's not as impactful. But unfortunately, where our games have been so close this year, so many 1-2-run games, every run he gives up is huge.
And the expectation of this fan, the expectation of a lot of fan bases is that you have this one ace that is basically prime Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander that goes out most games and pitches 8 innings and doesn't give up any runs and just you win 4-0 and there's no problem. So he's suffering slightly from expectation levels being absolutely sky high for the
game. Well, I'm not sure they are anymore. I think I think most fans now.
Maybe not of him, but that they.
Of an ace pitcher.
He should be an ace. He is the ace. Yeah. Why is he not doing this? Like,
yeah. Quickly on Brandon Marsh, thankfully, because when he first went down, my heart was in my mouth like everybody else. Wow. Thank goodness it looks like it's going to be 2 weeks. I reckon him and Pat J could be coming back around the same time. Yo, Joe Rowe. What, he needs a nickname. Joe Rowe.
You love this guy. Oh, my days. He's only been around for like 2 weeks.
I told you. Rojas, you know, keep him. Look what's going to happen. Stud. But yeah, he's doing the business right now. And I'm just, every time he comes to the plate, you feel like he's going to do something, you know. Even his bunt the other day wasn't great, but he got on base, you know. The pitcher or the fielder fell over the mound, but,
yeah,
you know, RBIs, gets on base, stealing bases. His pace is lethal. His defense is excellent. I'm excited for 2 weeks of Rojas in center field. Alex, I am
glad I live in the timeline where the Phillies are letting him have playing time. I'm thrilled because, again, Girardi, you know, wouldn't. No, well, it's not even that. I mean, there are some. Listen, the bat is not major league ready yet. I'm gonna stand by that. I think that I think he needs some more time. And I think he'll probably get it either, you know, next year. But that's beside the point, right?
Yeah.
The glove has been ready for the major leagues for 4 years now, right? Since he was literally 18 years old, he was ready to play major league center field, right? There's a reason that he has, and I feel like I repeat myself every time I talk about him, but I cannot stress this enough, had the most defensive runs saved of any center fielder in professional baseball, period.
Incredible.
Period. Yep. And it's shown at the major league level. He's already accrued, he's played 17 games, he's already accrued 0.5 F4, right? Like he is a beast in center field. He is going to make pretty much every play that you ask him to make and then some. If the bat can come around a little bit, I'm surprised he's not striking out more than he has.
He really doesn't, does he?
But he's still striking out at like let me look at the stat. It's 23.4%, which is, you know, it's not nothing.
It's not worse than the team.
It's better. It's better than like a 30%, you know, strikeout rate. He's not walking. He's not going to be a guy that walks a lot, but I would like to see him, you know, take his pitches a little bit more. But even so, even while he's looked overmatched at the plate at times, he's looked incredible in center field. And if the Phillies can just keep finding ways to get him into games, he is going to develop. And that is going to be huge for this team because Brandon Marsh is great. But next year, there's like no easy solution to, you know, the Phillies need for a right-handed bat. There really isn't. Mm-hmm. And the Phillies being able to roll with an outfield defense of Johan Rojas, Brandon Marsh in left, and maybe, I don't know, maybe Bryce Harper sticks at first base, I guess, and Nick Castellanos roams in right. Nice. But I don't really know what happens beyond this year. But what I do know is that Johan Rojas being in center field solves a lot of the Phillies' questions on the corner outfield spots because he's like basically a center fielder and then two halves of a corner outfielder. And like, he's great.
And he's so exciting. Like, he's going to be a fan favorite. You know, even the way he plays reminds me a bit of Segura. You know, he has that energy, that smile.
Yes.
That, you know, it's like he's enjoyed himself every time he goes out
either.
There.
Every time he's camped under a ball, he's just dancing. Like it's
beautiful. It's honestly beautiful, and it gives a lift to the players as well. You know, he has come through in some big moments. His defense, you know, at times run saving, just gives the team a lift.
Yeah,
it really does. I'm loving watching him. It's great. These next 2 weeks, it's quite good. We're at home. We've got a favorable schedule. You know, he should have some fun against some of these pitchers coming up. So really big 2 weeks for Rojas. Put the league on watch because Bryce is back, baby. That power.
We're gonna see what we've got in Weston Wilson because Wilson's gonna probably he may even wind up short side platooning with Jake Cave out in left. And that'll be at least intriguing.
Yeah, and we talked about Wilson not long ago when we were comparing him and Kingery at the time could have been coming up. Quite excited for Weston Wilson. I'm really interested to see. It's his chance. It's his chance.
Looks like
now.
He's had a hot year in the minors. He's had a hot year.
Really hot year.
He's
yeah,
got we speed. Like he's got some pop. Yeah.
The Kingery's Grand Slam, and he went oppo boppo the other night as well. Is you know, but
Weston Wilson, the story of his year so far is that he can do no wrong. I mean, he succeeds in the field. He succeeds at the plate. He succeeds on the base paths. He has done no wrong this year, and I am really looking forward to seeing if that translates in a limited role, because I don't know. Something tells me they won't be so keen to let him walk this year.
I think it will, because it seems to me like everyone who does come up, even for the short limited of time, that they have a game at least, don't they? Like the Duelist game against the Nationals earlier on in the season, you know, Jake Caves hit some bombs there on the season, but Weston Wilson, everyone that comes up plays a part this year, and they have played a part this year. And I think I'm low key excited to see what Weston Wilson can do. And I think he is going to make some impacts in that team defensively and with the bat as well. Bryce Harper, his power's back. It just missed one on Sunday. The RBIs, the extra base hits, the home runs, it's all mounting up. Bryce is getting hot again, and I am so excited, because oh boy, already that's extra runs on the board. Come on, you know, I'm getting buzzing talking about it. Bryce is back at the perfect time, linking up with Trey. What a 1-2 punch is Bowman Harper right now in the lineup. Bowman well, number two.
As you were talking about Harper, I'm thinking about Bowman, because if Bowman is the Bowman that we're seeing, that makes Harper three times the player, because they can't. Absolutely. You can't. You're fearing everything in and around Harper, and then you have to deal with Harper. That, right. In baseball, that is huge. That's in the pitcher's head.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing already, since moving Bohm to second, how Harper has all of a sudden just found that power again? Because Bohm's on base. Because before, nobody was on base. It was he's looking at an empty base path. Bohm is always there now. And Bohm at second, in the second lineup. What a move by Topper, by the way. And it's working. It's working. And then Cassie's now. And all of a sudden, Cassie comes to the plate. He's seeing Bohm, like Sunday, he's seeing Bohm and Bryce there. Gives him that right RBI opportunities. Cassie's now picked back up again. It's a chain reaction.
Honestly,
had a great game.
My dream is to eventually wake up to a lineup of Bryson Stott at the top. Maybe, hopefully, if Trey Turner refines some things, Trey Turner batting two. Bryce Harper at three, Alec Bohm at four. Oh, then either Kyle Schwarber or Nick Castellanos at five. Come on. Come on. Come on.
We're taking the piss.
That's just a dream. It would be a dream. But no, truly, the fact that Bryson Stott and Alec Bohm have stepped up in the way that they have this year is
unreal.
I mean, you can't beat it. You can't beat it.
I feel they are legitimately scary bats. Like even you're watching it as a Phillies fan and you're thinking, you ain't going to get these guys out easy.
Particularly in Bryson Stott's case.
That's how it was built.
But that's the other thing too. You look at both of these guys, right? The Phillies, the biggest thing for the Phillies' development of bats in the past, right, has just been they have terrible, terrible patience and swing rates and blah, blah, blah. Alec Bohm ranks in, I don't remember what percentile it is of whiff percent, but he doesn't chase. The guy does not chase. When he swings, he doesn't miss. And he's striking out at a 16.6% clip. Bryson Stott at a 16% clip. They don't strike out, which means that they are going to put the ball in play when the game is on the line.
Yep.
Right? And that is huge. That is absolutely huge, because you put the ball in play, good things happen. Right? So, I mean, I'm so excited to see the continued development of these two. It's getting pretty exciting to see them just continue to succeed. They're the backbone.
So
Brandon Marsh too. Go ahead.
Marsh has had a great season. You know,
he's a big loss.
It is. And hopefully everyone else, as we've seen this season and last season, will pick him up. You know, it's time for everyone else to step up, and they are so far. Very quickly, before we wrap this up, Sunday, if you're around London, Passyunk Avenue, there's a fever's going down to watch the Phils be the Twins. Waterloo, come hang out, come say hi, get a cheesecake, grab a beer, hopefully see the Phils win yet another series. Thank you for all the birthday love for my little boy yesterday. Really appreciated. showed him the messages. He didn't quite get the messages, but he loved the Fnatic pick. So, guys, really appreciated. And also, I asked you this evening, who right now, and for you two as well, ask you in a second, who right now would be your Phillies MVP of the season so far? It's close, but between two players that we've just spoke about, you know, Stott and Bohm, we're one and two. Without a doubt, Grant says Stott or Bohm, hard to choose between the two. Rich Weaver says, got to be Stott. Stott for Phillies fan in Montreal. Mike says Stott. Lee says Stott. Rach says Stott. Garrett Stubbs, Stan says Bohm, Walker or Kimbrel and Stott. Matt Wheeler says Bohm or Stott. It's just, it's amazing. Robert Ray says Castellanos. Sam says Stott. It's just incredible. Alec Bohm, sorry. There was some shouts for Craig Kimbrel. Nick Castellanos. Oh, I've got to try and find the Kimbrel ones because it is that. Rachel says Rojas. Yeah, I like it. I like it. A full season of Joe Rowe. And we'll see. Andrew says Tyon Walker. Bryson Stott. Zachary East. Bryson. Oh, where are there is some Kimbrel. There is some other options there, I promise you.
Stop well, Ryan, I offered a different option to anyone that you said.
Go on, Ryan.
I think I put it on the thread. I think Zach Wheeler deserves a love.
Oh, here you are.
Traditionally, you're expecting like a great pitcher to have an ERA that's under three, but baseball's changed. Baseball isn't three, isn't the 3.5 is the new three, at least, right? Yeah, and this guy is getting the strikeouts, he's got a low whip, he's consistently going long, his wins above replacement is the best in the team, and
yep.
I agree. Listen, I was being a little facetious. I probably would have given it to Bryson Stott, to be honest. But Wheeler deserves an honourable mention.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, Chris Otto says Walker and Kimbrel. Jalen Hurts fan says it has to be Kimbrel. The bullpen, Jarrett Hood says the bullpen. Bryson should get a look. Stott and Marsh. Stott or Marsh gets a shout out from a couple as well. Alex, who would you say?
I don't think it's as clear cut as it seems a lot of people do, but I mean, it is Bryson Stott. I think it's Bryson Stott. I think that is hands down the answer. He has been outstanding. But I think Brandon Marsh also really deserves some credit here.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just look at the Phillies WAR leaderboard, right, you've got Bryson Stott. He's leading the charge at around three. And then Brandon Marsh, who's at also around three, 2.6-ish. And then there's the biggest drop-off in the world. And it's Trey Turner at 1.3, Bryce Harper at 1.3, JT Realmuto at 1.2. I mean, these two guys, and obviously WAR doesn't tell the whole story, right? Especially when you're dealing with somebody like Nick Castellanos, who, you know, has gotten a lot of really poor defensive rating from Fangraphs. I haven't seen it, but, you know, I digress here. Those two guys and Alec Bohm have consistently saved the Phillies' butts. Like, consistently.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
And I think the tandem of the daycare is pretty much my joint MVP. Yeah.
That's the overriding on here. The daycare plus Casty is pretty much, you know, Angry Phils fan says surprise no one said Casty. Roger McNamee says Marsh needs a vote here, leads team in OPS, huge impact in the clubhouse too. Will be missed. Positive Phils fan says Castellanos carried us for the first half. Which he really did at time, you know, and thankfully when he then dipped, the team then picked up and carried him, which is what I love about this team. It's basically the daycare and Castellanos, and I think Bryce is going to put himself...
And Craig Kimbrel.
Kimbrel and Walker and Wheeler as well.
Yeah.
And the entire bullpen, to be honest. It's great, but who would have thought at the start of the season that Bryson Stott and Alec Bohm would be... We probably had in the conversation, but at the moment, I definitely... If the season ended now, would probably be players of the season. You know, you'd be looking at that. But I think Bryce is going to warm up now, and I think he's going to start taking the headlines for the rest of the season. And who knows? Trey Turner might just have had that turnaround moment in that last weekend. I'm excited to think about it because if the Phils lineup now is legit getting hot, just watch out. This August schedule is a favorable one for the Phils. They're at home for a lot of it. The bank is going to be rocking. Four games against the Nationals. All right, guys, quickly, Alex, prediction. Four games. I'd take three now. The Nationals are playing well. They've won every series since the All-Star break. They're not to be underestimated.
Yeah, I think they'll probably, at the very least, 3-1 here. Listen, they have some guys that are heating up a little bit. Obviously, Lane Thomas has been great for them. CJ Abrams is finding his stride. That's a little bit of an underrated
story. Right, two names that you know are going to be Philly killers.
That's, well, yeah. I mean, and they're young and, you know, whatever. The pitching is dreadful. Josiah Gray is the only pitcher you have to worry about on that rotation. Really win. I mean, it's really – it is dreadful. And honestly, the bullpen, again, as we've seen this year and in years past, it's Hunter Harvey and Kyle Finnegan, and that's it. So I think that I don't know what it's going to look like, but by all accounts, the Phillies should – wipe the floor with them here. And now after that, I'm saying that, you know,
yeah,
of course things aren't going to go that way, but they are getting a lot of overperformances. And I think Phillies will be fine.
Yeah. Tonight it's Williams versus Suarez. Tomorrow it's Gray versus Wheeler. Gray's doing all right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's good. He's really good.
And it's Gore versus Lorenzen. And then Thursday night, Patrick Corbin, who they're still wheeling out in a wheelchair versus Aaron Nola. It's got to be. Hey, no UK friendly times this week. What?
Oh, is it all? It's all evening.
They're all sick. Well, for us 11:40, for you guys 6:40. Oh, okay. Ryan, four games against the Nats. What are you saying, buddy?
Yeah, I mean Suarez, Wheeler, Lorenzen, Nola. I mean, it looks pretty strong on paper, doesn't it? And that's not even talking about the offense. I think the Phillies will probably win all four.
Yes. Yes, Ryan. That is
you realize we are setting ourselves up for supreme disappointment.
Of course, but you need some positivity in your life. You got to, you know, if the Cubs can get hot, so can the Phillies. Come on.
Yep. Exactly that. And the Reds, I saw some of those Reds Nationals games, and the Reds looked actually quite bad, more than the Nationals looked good.
Nice.
I think we've got more than enough in that lineup to take care of business against that pitch.
Honestly, given what we did against the Marlins and the Royals afterwards, but certainly in division the Marlins, I wouldn't even be that annoyed if we split the series with the Nationals. It's not the end of the world. So anything over 2-2
true.
Is like, it's great. What I mean is, I it wouldn't be a disaster. Like,
no,
so
but
anything more, and I'm happy.
It would be really nice to capitalize on this momentum. And
right,
especially...
Yeah.
Who are the Giants playing this week? Can anybody tell me off the top of their head?
No.
I'll tell you.
I have not memorized the
While the rest of them are struggling, it'd be nice just to keep winning and just keep putting some good distance between everybody else. They're not.
That's why we're going to win all four, yeah.
Looks like the Giants and Angels are playing. So,
well, Marlins, Yankees as well.
Well, the Marlins have the hardest schedule in August that I've ever seen.
Giants Rangers is this weekend. I've gone too far.
It says Giants Angels for me.
You're right. No, it is. And then Giants Angels, and then they've got the Rangers this weekend while we play the Twins. The Marlins. They must be playing Reds. Marlins, Reds, Rockies, Brewers.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
It's all in our favor again. You know, the D-backs have got their Dodgers. Oof. I tell you what. I need 3 out of 4 because I think if we can do that, we should be looking very, very good come the weekend. Guys, anything else before we wrap this baby up?
Not for me. Excited. I'm excited to see this series. I think, you know, Phillies have a really good chance to build some momentum here. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah. I'm fine. I've really enjoyed this pod. What I'm going to do after the pod is I'm just going to go and shout a load of stats into the little pond out the back of my house.
Shout it into water.
Once I'm done with that, I might come back in and watch the Phillies game.
There you go.
But make it after the Nola outing when he's giving up 4 home runs, but actually a complete game.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Favorite bit of this episode.
Guys, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. It's been an absolute blast. We will reconvene next week. But from me, Dave Shaw, it is Ring the Bell. From Ryan,
Ring the Bell.
And from Alex,
Ring the Bell, Dave.
Let's go. Thank you, guys.